This audio presentation covers the exercises in Latin lessons 15 and 16 of your textbook. Please go to page 95, where you'll find the first suffix you're asked to memorize here. Moni, M-O-N-Y, or imini, I-M-O-N-Y, meaning the quality of or the state of. Please add the meaning, the product of. This suffix is often involved in one of the linguistic processes we just surveyed, the change from abstract to concrete. In this case, many words ending imini and having an abstract sense originally later took on a concrete meaning. For instance, testimony, which means at heart the quality of being a witness, eventually came to represent the words themselves spoken by a witness. Note also that the final Y will become I when another suffix is added after this one. To the next suffix, acity, A-C-I-T-Y, meaning the quality of being inclined to, please add the meaning, the state of abounding in, as in voracity, meaning gluttony, greediness in eating. If we gave noun-forming suffixes the same sorts of degrees we assigned to their adjective-forming counterparts, this one would be +2, the highest degree. It means there's a lot of whatever the base is. Rapacity, lots of seizing. The next suffix, y, is another one which often produces nouns that undergo the change from abstract to concrete. That's why Ayres has added to the suffix's original abstract senses the quality of or the state of two concrete meanings, the act of and the result of. This y suffix is responsible for the I often seen in between other word elements, so you'll find it hiding in many words. But for our purposes here, let's not go overboard. Instead, let's use this suffix only when it's the last suffix, in which case it will be spelled with a Y, not an I. Also, be careful not to confuse this Latinate Y with an identical Anglo-Saxon suffix Y, which is used in several ways. One, as a diminutive suffix meaning little, as in Billy or Kitty. Two, as a totally different suffix meaning belonging to, as in homie or roadie, sometimes it's spelled I-E, and three, yet another suffix meaning like, as in smarty, like smarty pants. The last suffix in this chapter, eight, meaning the office of or holder of the office of, is identical in form to the verb-forming suffix, which means to. But it's usually easy to tell these suffixes apart because the noun-forming variant has such a specific use. It's always related to government offices, and this noun-forming eight generates far fewer derivatives than its verb-forming counterpart, which is pervasive in Latin derivatives. All in all, if you see eight and the word has something to do with government, choose the noun-forming option. Otherwise, assume it means two. The bases in this chapter start with cid, C-I-D, cis, C-I-S, a word root which comes from two different but closely related Latin verbs. One means cut and gives us words like incision and precise. The other means kill and produced words like insecticide and suicide. The Romans actually had a third cid, C-I-D base, which means fall. We've already encountered that in Lesson 12. So anytime you see cid, you'll have to ask yourself which sense, cut or kill or fall, works best for any particular word. Often the word itself makes it clear. Suicide is obviously killing yourself, not cutting or falling. The next base is part of a system of bases which represent family relations. Matra, matern, means mother. Patra, patern, means father. So let's finish out the family and add the bases for brother and sister. Frater, F-R-A-T-E-R, with or without the E, means brother. Think fraternity or fraternize. And soror, S-O-R-O-R, means sister, as in sorority. Two closely related bases on this list are patri, P-A-T-R-I, which means fatherland or country, and patron, P-A-T-R-O-N, meaning protector. The sense of the first is where your father lives, and the sense of the second is acting like a father. Remember that the S on the front of sequa, secute, will disappear if it's preceded by the prefix ex. Thus, execute will not have an S. This is not a matter of etymology, but English spelling. Be careful. You have been warned. Finally, Latin has two bases which look similar to sol, S-O-L, meaning alone. One, also sol, means sun, as in solar. And the other, solute, S-O-L-U-T, means to free or loosen. From the latter, we get words like solution and dissolute. You won't be asked to learn the sol sun base in this class, though I advise you to learn it. However, you will encounter the solute, free loosen base in lesson 16. Since that base never takes the form sol, just S-O-L, you should never confuse alone and loosen. But be careful, while they're not identical, they look alike. Now on to the next lesson, lesson 16. Please turn to page 99 and put a big star next to the first suffix, I-O-N. It's very common and shows up in a lot of Latinate words in English. Please note that it's not T-I-O-N, as is often wrongly thought. If a T appears before I-O-N, it's most likely part of another suffix, like ate, A-T, or ite, I-T. The other two prefixes in this lesson, ment, M-E-N-T, and men, M-E-N, mean the same thing, the result of, the means of, the act of, the state of, because they're cognate, both being variations on the same suffix. These suffixes are only slightly less common than ION, so put a couple of stars by them, too. The bases in this lesson begin with two important ones as well. To cre, cresc, cret, meaning grow, add another variation, cru, C-R-U, and put square brackets around it because this is the French form of the base. From the cru variant, we get our word accru, meaning increase. Be careful, too, that you take note of the form cret, C-R-E-T. We've already encountered another cret base back in lesson 13, cern cret, meaning separate. As I discussed there, the reason these two cret forms are identical is because they come from the same Latin verb. If you think about it, grow and separate are similar in meaning. When a plant grows, for instance, it separates from the ground. What you're really seeing here is two different metaphorical paths one Latin root followed. The next base, I or IT, meaning go, is a tricky one because it's so short. As I'm sure you remember from the last lesson, a single I can be interpreted as a suffix, a variant of Y. And although I advised you against doing that, frankly, that's the way a lone vowel like I most often appears etymologically. The I go base is actually relatively rare. Here's how I suggest you distinguish these word elements. If a word appears to have no base, and words must have bases, look for an I element in the middle of the word. If you find one, then you probably have this I go base. However, if there's already a base in the word, then the I is all but certain to be a form of the suffix Y or a vowel variant in front of another suffix, like ent, I-E-N-T. Here's an example. Take the word transient, T-R-A-N-S-I-E-N-T. It has a prefix trans, T-R-A-N-S, and what appears to be the suffix ent, I-E-N-T. But if you diagnose it that way, you're left with no base, which is impossible. The prefix variants tran, T-R-A-N, and tra, T-R-A, don't help because there's no Latin base N-S or S or S-I. The only way to break this word up etymologically is to assume that the base is I and the suffix ent, E-N-T, which is the correct analysis for this word's elements. The prefix trans, meaning across, the base I, meaning go, and the suffix ent, meaning ing. Transient means going across, thus passing or momentary. Only use the base I if you have to, and note that it all but never combines with another base. Going on, I want to add another base which Mr. Ayres omits, leg, L-E-G, meaning law, or bequeath. Bequeath means to leave something to someone in your will. From this base, we get words like legal and legislate. I include this leg base here because it's identical in form to another base in this lesson, leg, lig, lect, which means choose, pick out, or read. This second base is far more common in English derivatives, so always try its meanings first. Usually the legal sense of the first base, the new one I've added, stands out. For example, a word like illegal obviously contains a sense of law. Note also that the choose leg base has the meaning read. As we noted in the metaphors lecture, to Romans, choosing a book meant reading it. The metaphorical sense was probably, originally, gather up, as in gather up information. Indo-European languages in general do not have a common base for read, because writing was not part of Indo-European culture before Indo-European groups separated and their languages began to drift apart. English read, for instance, comes from a base that means advise or explain, later, interpret. Greek used a base that meant to know thoroughly. None of these bases are related linguistically. Likewise, words for write are often unrelated linguistically and come from a variety of roots, usually meaning something like scratch, etch, or paint. And finally, I want to add one more base to this short list. Trit, T-R-I-T, meaning rub or wear, as in wear away. Can you think of a word that means the slow wearing away of something and uses this base? Good. Attrition. But perhaps my favorite derivative from this base is contrition. Literally, the state of being very, con, rubbed down, trit. An interesting metaphor developed here in Christian religion. The sense that if you're rubbed down, that is drooping, you're carrying the weight of great sin on your shoulders, and it's bending you down. If so, you're contrite, meaning that your guilt is obvious, and now you're sorry for the terrible sins you've committed. Thus, you're seeking contrition, God's forgiveness for those transgressions. What a metaphor to wear. And that's it for this audio presentation. Go forth, my children, and sin no more. That's teacher for memorize your bases. Happy etymologizing!